listening to Two and Two Yesterday, broadcasting programs from the golden age of radio. I'm your host, Mark Levionier. Sci-fi coming up in this hour. Later on, we'll hear Exploring Tomorrow from 1958. In a moment, our first broadcast, Space Patrol, one of the few programs to begin on television and bring its cast simultaneously to radio on ABC. What started for the network as a near-TV disaster turned out to be one of the most watched juvenile series of its kind, complete with toys and premiums featured on both programs. It really appealed to kids as it brought forth younger characters Commander Buzz Corey, played by Ed Kemmer, and Cadet Happy, played by Lynn Osborne, who employed a trademark sidekick catchphrase, "Smokin' rockets, Buzz." Together on the program, they journeyed into the wild frontier of space with a host of advanced, if not fantastically futuristic, technology at the ready. Even if on TV some of the sets and props were so flimsy, cast members would have to be extremely gentle with a ray gun or literally hold up the walls during some scenes. The Space Patrol itself was just that, an Earth-based group that, through their efforts, protected the planets and solar system from battling avalanches on Saturn to combating metal-eating worms planted by a villain on their ship, even taking on a Pluto-to-Neptune space race. The fast-paced serial was created by World War II Navy veteran Mike Mosher, who said he was inspired to write the show during his flights over the Pacific, where the vastness of the water reminded him of the never-ending universe above, which in his childhood was translated to him through radio programs like Flash Gordon and Buck Rogers in the 25th century. In 1950, he pitched his idea of interstellar adventures to ABC TV, who picked it up as a nightly quarter-hour show seen in the L.A. market. When the show went national in that year, ABC immediately added the same program to their radio schedule, retaining the original cast of the TV version, including the patrol's perpetual nemesis Tonga, played by Nina Vera, and Bella Kovacs as villain the Black Falcon. Because of their now hectic schedule, the cast reportedly had a hard time keeping their lines straight on the small screen, though a pre-recorded radio show, a method championed by ABC before other networks, suffered little. The TV version is actually known as the first regular Saturday morning series and helped pave the way for other shows to be seen nationwide at the same time of day. Space Patrol attracted young audiences by the millions for five solid years on ABC, but it was radio that inadvertently caused the program's demise. On April 23, 1953, writer-creator Mike Mosher was walking across Vine Street to the ABC Theater where the radio studio was held when a car hit and killed him. Following his death, the network tried to purchase the rights to the scripts from his widow, who refused, and Space Patrol was canceled at the end of its contract in 1955. All in all, Space Patrol was one of the top sci-fi adventure shows for kids on TV and radio, and we enjoy a broadcast of it now, from December 20th, 1952, with a story called Lady from Venus.
Wheat Chex, Rice Chex, and Good Hot Ralston present Space Patrol! High adventure in the wild, vast reaches of space. Missions of daring in the name of interplanetary justice. Travel into the future with Buzz Corey, Commander-in-Chief of the Space Patrol! In today's transcribed adventure, Buzz and Happy have been locked in a building by two criminals who have blocked their only means of escape by pouring sodium-potassium alloy on the stairs. The liquid metal has burst into flame on contact with the air.
Commander, the heat's terrible.
We're going to face something worse than heat when the automatic fire extinguishing system starts to work.
But, sir, the water will put the fire out and we can escape.
Not with this alloy, Happy. It burns in air, but when water hits it, it explodes.
What?
The second that spray starts working, this whole building will be blown to bits.
We'll be back in just a moment with today's Space Patrol story, The Lady from Venus. Space Patroller Dick Tufeld, gang, speaking to you from an atomic power plant on Mars. They're having trouble getting power, but I think I've found the trouble. Now, listen to this main power generator. Sounds pretty weak, doesn't it? My guess is this. They've been using ordinary fuel. So let's see what happens when I put in this super fuel. Wow, listen to that power now. Supercharging does it. And gang, when you roll out of bed in the morning, you're just like this generator. You need fuel because you haven't had any for about 12 hours. But listen, don't settle for ordinary fuel. Get supercharged like Buzz Corey does with a good breakfast. Eat the super cereals in the checkerboard packages. Now, Rice Chex and Wheat Chex are the super cereals with that modern bite-sized design for super easy eating. Rice Chex is bite-sized shredded rice, triple toasted. And Wheat Chex is bite-sized shredded wheat, baked crisper than a cracker, super power in every bite. Now remember, pulling up to the breakfast table is like pulling into a filling station. So get supercharged every morning. Pick up your cereal bowl and say,
"Fill her up, Mom. Wheat Chex. Fill her up, Mom. Rice Chex."
In Commander Corey's central office on Terra, a tall, middle-aged man anxiously paces the floor while Cadet Happy checks the Space Patrol search mission reports.
There are some magazines on the table, Mr. Stratton.
Beg pardon?
I said if you want to read, there are some magazines.
Oh, no, thank you, Cadet. Is that clock correct?
Yes, it is, Mr. Stratton.
Are you sure?
It's a uranium clock, sir. It gives the correct universal start time within a millionth of a second.
Commander Corey did say 10:30, didn't he?
Yes, sir.
It's 10:40 now.
Oh, here's the commander now.
Well, sorry to keep you waiting, Mr. Stratton.
Oh, that's all right, Commander.
The Secretary General and the staff have gone over your application and the reports of the commission.
Yes?
It's been approved. You can go ahead with that atomic power plant.
Oh, splendid.
These papers authorize you to obtain fissionable materials for your atomic breeder reactor.
Thank you.
I suppose you're blasting off to Venus right away and get your plant into operation.
Oh, I have a few matters to clear up first in my Terra office. Goodbye, Commander. And, Cadet, thank you for your courtesy.
Well, that's all right, Mr. Stratton. Goodbye.
Congratulations, Mr. Stratton.
Oh? What can I do for you?
Why, Mr. Stratton, you don't recognize me.
Why, Miss Bennett, forgive me, but you look so different.
Don't tell me I've aged that much in 5 years.
Oh, no, it's not that. It's a...
I'm a blonde now instead of a brunette.
Oh, yes, that's it. Of course, your hair.
And I dress more expensively than I did when I worked for you.
I always thought you dressed very nicely, Miss Bennett.
Why so formal, Edward? On Mars, you used to call me Elspeth, the lady from Venus.
What are you doing now, Elspeth?
Oh, that's better. Well, right now, I'm in the manufacturing business on my own.
Well, we're competitors, eh?
No, not entirely, Edward. In fact, I'm actually interested in becoming one of your customers.
Oh, splendid. We parted on very unpleasant terms, as I recall. I'm glad you're willing to let bygones be bygones.
Yes, and I was delighted to hear that the Secretary General gave you the go-ahead for your reactor on Venus.
Why, I just came from Space Patrol headquarters myself. How did you know about it so soon?
Oh, I know a lot of things about you, Edward. I was one of the people questioned by the Space Patrol security agents.
Well, evidently, your replies were favorable. Thank you.
How soon will your plant be in operation?
It'll take 3 weeks to get into active production.
Good, then I can count on you for a shipment of plutonium in less than a month. I'm not joking, Edward. I'm ready to pay you a fair amount of credits for a small percentage of your plutonium output.
You have a United Planets authorization to buy it?
Oh, no. That's why I have to get it from you.
But I can't sell it to you. I can sell you power, but not plutonium or other fissionable materials. It's illegal.
Stratton, how long do you think you'd be permitted to operate that plant if I should go to Space Patrol with certain evidence? Evidence of those shady deals on Mars 5 years ago.
You know I had nothing to do with those. You engineered them behind my back.
Yes, but the evidence I have still points to you, not to me. I've been keeping it, Edward, for just such an opportunity as this.
No, I've got to account for every ounce of plutonium.
Surely you can find some way to get around the regulations. You want to keep that plant, don't you?
That's blackmail, Elspeth.
Blackmail? When I'm paying you for the plutonium? That's unfair.
I never thought you'd stoop to anything like this.
You'll send the plutonium to the Elbin Company on Mars. There's a fake company I've organized to receive certain illegal materials.
So you're operating on Mars?
No, no. I just want to be sure the plutonium's hard to trace. For your protection as well as mine, I'm still the lady from Venus. So I'll see you in a month. Remember, I'll be expecting my shipment in a month. Goodbye for now.
You know what I'm going to do when we get to Lake Azure, Commander?
What, Happy?
I'm going to go for a swim, and then I'm going to the club and have a steak that thick. And
wait a minute, Happy. There's one thing I forgot to tell you when we blasted off from Terra.
What's that, sir?
Officially, this is a pleasure trip. Unofficially, we're on official duty.
Huh? I'm all confused.
You remember the man Stratton who was in my office about a month ago? The fellow who was authorized to operate an atomic reactor plant on Venus?
Oh, yes, sir. I remember Mr. Stratton. He ought to be producing by now.
Yeah, he's in some sort of trouble. We're going to Lake Azure and see if we can clear it up.
What kind of trouble?
Well, he's afraid to tell me by spacophone, so I arranged to visit him at his cottage on the north shore of the lake.
Oh, then the swim and the stake are out.
And until after we talk to Mr. Stratton, then we'll see about the swim and stakes. Because in the long run, I want to be sure that everybody thinks we're visiting Venus for pleasure.
Just a minute.
Oh, Elspeth.
Yes, Edward. I heard you were resting here at Lake Azure after getting your plant into operation, so I thought I'd pay you a visit. Well, aren't you going to ask us in? Mr. Stratton, this is my assistant, Ivan Ammon.
How do you do?
Hello.
Shake hands with him, Edward, or Ivan will think you don't like him. He's very sensitive.
Yeah. Shake, huh?
Yeah. Easy, Ivan. Mr. Stratton will probably need his right hand to correct a little mistake he made.
Mistake?
Yes. One of our representatives inside your plant informed us that you shipped a crate to the Elbin Company on Mars yesterday.
That's right, I did. I followed your instructions.
Yeah, except you didn't put plutonium in the crate.
What a waste of time and money it would be for us to pick up that crate of worthless metal and haul it back to Venus.
Oh, worthless metal?
Yes. So I brought Ivan with me to persuade you to correct this oversight.
You like me to work him over, Miss Bennett?
Well, that's up to Mr. Stratton.
Yes, I'll correct the oversight.
Good. But the next time you make a mistake, Ivan will work you over, as he calls it. And I'll turn my evidence over to the Space Patrol.
It won't happen again.
See that it doesn't. Come on, Ivan.
All right, Miss Bennett.
All right, Ivan. Let's get back to our water cruiser.
Miss Bennett, look. There is another water cruiser pulling up to Stratton's wharf.
Yes, men in uniform. Quick, get over behind those bushes before they see us.
Here they look like space patrolmen.
It's exactly what they are. It's lucky we beached our cruiser down at the cove.
What are they coming here for?
We're going to find out. Get in the bushes. We can watch from here.
Hadn't we better get to the cruiser and shove off?
Wait, Ivan. The tall one's Commander Corey.
Yeah. I heard at the hotel that he was due in today for a rest. That space patrol high breath has it pretty soft.
If he's here for a rest, why would he come directly to see Stratton? It looks very suspicious to me. If he's double-crossed...
They are on the wharf now. Let's get going.
No. Wait till they get in the house. Then we'll slip up and see if we can hear what's going on.
No, Mr. Stratton, we didn't see anybody.
And there was no boat at the wharf.
They must have come here in a surface car, then.
They could have, all right, along the lakeshore road.
Who were these people?
Elspeth Bennett and a man named Ivan Ammon. They're the reason I asked you to come here. They're trying to force me to sell them plutonium illegally.
I see.
One of their spies in my plant found out about a fake shipment I tried to trick them with, so they came here to threaten me.
Threaten you? With violence, you mean?
Yes. Well, Commander, I'm going to tell you the whole story. It may mean that the government might take my license away, but I'll not be blackmailed into committing a crime.
Blackmail? How could they? Your record's clean.
Let me give you the facts. This Elspeth Bennett worked for me 5 years ago on Mars. Without my knowledge, she put over several very dishonest deals. Here's exactly what she did. In order to make it look as though I were responsible, she faked a series of offers.
Fool, he's blabbing the whole story.
Maybe Corey will not believe him.
Well, the Space Patrol investigate us, and we can't afford that. At any rate, we can't get any plutonium from Stratton now.
Let's get out of here before Corey comes out.
If Corey finds our plant, we're finished. Ivan, we've got to take care of Corey, the cadet, and Stratton.
I can't handle all three of them. They are armed.
I'll fix it so you can take the space patrolman by surprise. You wait in the bushes near the lakeshore. I'll pretend to be in trouble. While they're rescuing me, you can jump out and overpower them.
You know, Commander, somehow I think Mr. Stratton was telling the truth about being framed.
Well, so do I, Happy.
If he weren't thoroughly honest, he could have sold radioactive materials illegally. Yet he's willing to risk losing his plant.
Help! Well, help!
Commander, listen.
It's a woman. She's fallen into the lake. Come on, Happy.
Save me. I can't swim.
We're coming, lady. Here, I'll jump in, sir.
Oh, wait, Happy. She isn't far out. Grab the end of this stick. That's it. Get a good grip. You're going to be all right. Just hang on. We'll pull you in.
Oh, thank goodness you heard me call.
I've got her, sir.
Yeah, watch the edge of the bank, Happy. It's not very solid.
That's how I fell in.
Here, I'll give you a hand, Happy. We'll have you out in just a second.
Oh, I didn't realize the water was so deep, so close to the shore.
There. There you are. Now, don't try to get up for a while. Just rest.
And you rest too, Corby!
Hey, what's the big idea?
I got them both, Miss Bennett, just like you said.
Well, there's no time for gloating, Ivan. Go in the house, get Stratton, and bring him out here.
Maybe I better finish Cordy and the cadet now.
Give Stratton a chance to get away? No. Somebody's going to find three bodies here by the lake. Corey, the cadet, and Stratton. And they'll find the evidence against Stratton in Corey's pocket.
Yeah, but the evidence is fake.
Well, of course it is, but no one will suspect it. It'll be obvious to everyone that Stratton did away with him to keep from being exposed.
How are you going to explain Stratton?
Why, Corey wounded him in the fight. Now, get Stratton.
Suppose the cadet come too while I'm gone.
Either one of them moves, this heavy stick will take care of them.
We'll be back with Space Patrol in just a moment. Say, gang, what do you need for a good, good morning and a good, good start? A nourishing breakfast with Rice Chex or Wheat Chex, that's what. The super cereals that helped us supercharge you. Uh-oh, here's a chance to show you exactly what I mean. Some of the fellas here in the neighborhood are having a race. They're running right in this direction, and way out in front is Jim Bridwell, a boy that makes it a rule to eat a good breakfast with the super cereals. Listen, here they come. And let me tell you, Jim is going to win because he's supercharged.
I won!
There, Jim did win, which just goes to show you that to be a winner, you have to eat a winner's breakfast. So latch on quick, gang, to Rice Chex and Wheat Chex, the super cereals that helped us supercharge you.
Hi, Space Patroller.
Hi, Jim. Nice job of running you did there.
Supercharged, that's me.
That's what I was telling the gang, that you eat the super cereals.
I sure do. Rice Chex and Wheat Chex. You just can't find another cereal like them.
Right you are, because they're the only modern bite-sized cereal anywhere.
And talk about delicious. Mmm, boy.
Get them today, Space Patrollers. Rice Chex, Wheat Chex. Edward Stratton, operator of an atomic reactor plant on Venus, is being blackmailed by a former employee, Elspeth Bennett, into selling plutonium illegally. Buzz and Happy went to Lake Azure on Venus to get Stratton's report and were knocked unconscious by Elspeth's assistant, the burly Ivan Amond. Now, while Ivan goes to bring Stratton out of his lakeside cottage, Buzz and Happy regain consciousness to find Elspeth standing over them with a heavy club.
Don't get any ideas about rushing me. I've got you covered.
Commander, look. She's holding the same stick we used to pull her out of the water.
If you think I won't use it, just make a move to get up. Oh, cadet, what are you looking so pop-eyed about?
Look, right over your head. There's a snake hanging from that tree limb.
Oh, now, really? Don't try any childish tricks on me.
He's right, Miss Bennett. It's a poisonous snake.
Oh, who do you think you're fooling?
We're not fooling.
You'd better move, Miss Bennett.
And you'd better not, Commander.
It's ready to strike.
And so am I.
Look out, Commander.
I warned you, Commander. Let go of that stick.
I was hoping you'd swing at me. Now, give me that club. I don't want to hurt you. There.
If you hadn't ducked, I'd have fixed you good.
Yeah, and if the commander hadn't yanked you forward, something would have fixed you for good. Look what's on that branch.
It is a snake. Oh!
I've got her, Hap.
One minute she's swinging a club at us, and the next she faints dead away. Women are sure temperamental.
At least this one is.
You know, Commander, if that snake had bitten Miss Bennett, I'm afraid it would have been one sick snake.
This is no time for jokes, Happy. We've got to save Stratton. Come on. I hope we're in time.
Commander.
Stratton, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Where's Ivan?
Oh, he saw you coming, hit me, and then ran out the back door.
Stratton, Miss Bennett is out by the lake. Watch her till we get back. Come on, Happy, let's see if we can pick up Ivan's trail.
Ivan.
Miss Ben, I thought they captured you. I saw Corey and a cadet run toward the cottage.
No. Corey struck me and thought I was unconscious. Ivan, did you finish Stratton?
No. I didn't have a chance. Corey and the cadet arrived too soon. Miss Bennett, we better get in the boat and shove off. Corey may have trailed me through the brush.
All right, let's get across the lake to our spaceship. Help me into the boat.
This brush sure is thick.
Yes. Some of these small branches are broken. Ivan's heading for the lake.
Do you think he'll try to swim it, sir?
He might. He might have had a boat beached along here.
Commander, look at these footprints. They lead right out to the water.
Yes, two sets, a man's and a woman's.
Miss Bennett must have come out of her faint.
Hey, look out there, halfway across the lake.
A water cruiser with two people in it.
They're going at full speed.
By the time we got to our boat at the wharf, well, they'd be out of sight.
Get back to Stratton's cottage and space a phone and alarm.
I'm sorry that Bennett woman got away. When I got to the lake shore, she was gone.
Don't worry, Mr. Stratton. The commander's alerting the lake patrol. She won't get very far.
Oh, to think she was planning to destroy us all in cold blood. Elspeth's always been a determined woman. But I had no idea she was so utterly ruthless.
I've just talked to the manager of the Lake Azure Hotel. Neither Ivan nor Miss Bennett were registered there. But the manager recognized their descriptions. They've been hanging around there the last couple of days.
They must have been picking up information.
I've alerted the Lake Patrol and Venus City headquarters. Mr. Stratton, do you have any idea where Miss Bennett's factory is?
No, other than she hinted it somewhere here on Venus.
So what's the name of it?
I don't even know that. I was supposed to ship the plutonium to the Elbin Company on Mars. It's a fake outfit she uses just to acquire illegal materials.
The Elbin Company. Chances are she must do quite a bit of business under that name. I'll have Space Patrol units contact all spaceports and shipping centers to see if there's any freight on hand for the Elbin Company. Mr. Stratton, you'd better come with us to Venus City. Until we capture Elspeth Bennett and Ivan, your life is in danger.
Miss Bennett, the plants are in the other direction. You are way off vector.
We're not going to the plant right now. We're going to Venus City to pick up some freight.
What for?
There's an electromagnetic pump waiting to be picked up, and it's got the Elbin Company name on it. Sooner or later, Corey's going to trace us through the Elbin Company.
But, Miss Bennett, we can't get a magnetic pump in this ship. It's too small.
We'll hire a surface truck from the warehouse and drive to the plant. There's another ship there. We'll pick up some documents I need and then blast off for Jupiter. Corey will never find us there.
We're about 2 minutes out of Venus City, sir. Shall I contact Space Control?
I'll handle it, Hap.
Space Patrol Headquarters, Venus City. Calling Commander Corey.
Corey here. Go ahead.
Now, Commander, we've already got a development on that Elbin Company checkup.
Good. Let's have it.
Warehouse number 3 has had a large piece of machinery on hand assigned to the Elbin Company. An electromagnetic pump was picked up just a few minutes ago.
Does anybody at the warehouse know where the Elbin Company is located?
Not exactly, but from other dealings, they think it's southeast of Venus City, out toward the Topaz River. A man and a woman rented a big Atomo surface truck from the warehouse.
Get the Atomo truck registration number. Alert all highway patrol units to watch for it. They're not to stop it, just report its location and direction.
Yes, Commander.
Corey out. Well, we won't land at Venus City, Happy. We'll cruise around till we get a report on that truck.
I've got the Atomo truck in the viewscope, sir. It's the only vehicle on the highway for miles.
Yeah, that must be it, then. Check that chart of the Topaz River region.
Yes, sir.
What manufacturing concerns are marked there?
Well, there's only one, sir, but it doesn't say what it is.
No. When the truck arrives, we'll be there.
You know, Miss Bennett, I've got to admit I didn't think much of this plan at first. But we sure got Corey off of our trail now.
With that electromagnetic pump out of the warehouse, there's nothing on Venus to give him a hint where our plant is.
What about the spaceship we left at the freight yard?
The false registration will throw Corey even further off the trail.
Do you want to go to the administration building first and get those papers?
No, stop here, by the reactor equipment building.
What for?
Just stop the truck. I'm going to leave orders for my men to get rid of all equipment which might connect this plant with illegal radioactivity work. We'll go in here and take a quick inventory.
Well, I can tell you what is in there. A container of sodium potassium coolant, Heat exchanger, a receiving
tank. Yes, I know, but I don't want any slip-ups. Come on, get out.
Well, it's going to be a job to dispose of all that, and a real shame to destroy it.
It'll just be hidden. A few months from now, I'll set up a plant on another planet. Nobody's going to stop the lady from Venus. I can promise you that. Now, come on.
All right, Miss Bennett. Ivan, stay where you are.
Corey!
Quick, into the building.
Stop!
Quick, open the door. Up the stairs. We can cross to the next building with a catwalk.
There they go, sir. Up the stairs.
Come on, let's get them.
Ivan, open the door of the catwalk.
It's dark.
They're coming up the steps. Stop.
You're cornered. Better come down.
Ivan, those big containers. Roll them down the stairs.
Okay. Better get off the stairs.
Watch it, Commander.
Duck, Captain.
Shall I roll this one now?
Ivan, wait. Don't roll it. Open the valve and let it pour down the stairs.
Huh?
Tip it over and point the valve toward them. Hurry!
Commander, what do you suppose she's up to?
I don't know.
Corey, this drum contains sodium-potassium coolant. It's used in atomic breeder reactors to carry off heat from the reactor core. When it's exposed to air, it will burst into flames. Turn the valve, Ivan.
There it goes!
Stand back, Happy!
Commander, the heat, it's awful.
All right, Ivan, get that door open.
Yes, Miss Bennett.
Happy, we can't get up through that flaming liquid, and they can't get down. We'll go outside.
Sorry, Commander, you won't be leaving.
She's closed the door.
The electronic control switch is up here. It's no use, Cadet. You can't open that door.
I got this one open, Miss Bennett.
We're leaving you now, Commander. Oh, by the way, there's an automatic fire extinguishing system in here. In a minute or two, water will be sprayed all over that sodium-potassium alloy. And that you'll like. Come on, Ivan, we haven't got much time.
Hey, did you hear that, Commander? The sprinkling system will put the fire out, and if it works quickly...
If the sprinkling system starts, we're finished.
Huh?
This coolant has to be kept in a closed, airtight system. It burns in there, but when water hits it, it explodes violently. All these containers will blow up.
Commander, we've got to get out of here.
Now look, there's an electronic hoist. A chain runs up to that pulley fastened to the beam. That hoist will lift us high enough. We can swing over to the balcony and get out the way they did. Grab the hook. I'll throw the switch.
Yes, sir.
Get a good grip. I'll hold the chain and kick the switch with my foot.
Hey, it's working, sir. We're going up.
Start swinging. When we're level with the balcony, jump.
Yes, sir. Hey, the sprinkling system. It started to work.
Let's hope the water doesn't hit that coolant until we get out of here. Jump, Happy. Quickly. Out the door, across the catwalk.
There it goes. Three whole buildings blown to bits.
Yes, and Commander Corey along with them. Now, come on, let's get to the ship.
Let's use my ship. It's closer.
Corey!
Hold it, Ivan.
Corey, you couldn't have escaped.
But we did, which is something that's never going to happen to a certain lady from Venus. Yes, sir, Commander. When she teamed up with Ivan Amon, it sure was an evil omen.
Happy.
We'll be back with an action preview of next week's exciting Space Patrol story in just a moment. Jumpin' Jupiter, gang. Here's a five-star bulletin from Buzz Corey. It's coming over the teletype here in the newsroom of Terra's biggest newspaper, the Outer Space Dispatch. Here, I'll read it to you hot off the news tape. It says, gang, don't take a chance those cold winter mornings. Get a start for the day that keeps you moving. Eat a breakfast that whips you into action. A good breakfast with good hot Ralston, the hot super cereal that helps to supercharge you. That's instant Ralston, the delicious wheat cereal. Remember, I can't take a chance. I have to get supercharged every day. That's why I eat a good breakfast with instant Ralston, a breakfast that supercharges me. You can't take a chance either, boys and girls. So my advice to you is this. Get supercharged every day. That's it, gang. That's Buzz Corey's message to you. So do what your commander says. Eat a good breakfast with good hot Ralston and get supercharged. Buzz and Happy are in the lower shaft of a secret mine on Saturn's sixth moon. As they wade through the water of the partly flooded shaft, a strange sound filters down through the mine.
Happy, listen. Yeah, sounds like a motor of some kind. It must be back outside the opening.
It's the mine's pump engine.
Pump? Oh, automatic, I guess, yeah. When the water reaches a certain level, it cuts on.
Hey, wait a minute. Look at the water level against the wall of the calf. Watch it.
It looks like it's rising.
Now, that pipe. It isn't drawing water out. It's forcing it in. Happy, somebody at the mine opening reversed the pumps. They're trying to drown us.
Be sure to be with us next Saturday for the exciting story, The Last Voyage of Lonesome Lena, when Wheat Chex, Rice Chex, and Good Hot Ralston again brings you Space Patrol! And now, a message from Commander Buzz Corey.
Boys and girls, to donate blood, you have to be at least 18 years of age. But to be a Space Patrol blood booster, well, age doesn't matter. I need all of you. And all of you can join. Our job is to get more people to donate blood to the Red Cross. It's a swell way to help your country, and we have a lot of fun doing it. So, how about it? How about joining my Space Patrol blood boosters today?
Space Patrol, an original Mike Moser production starring Ed Kemmer as Commander Corey and Lynn Osborne as Cadet Happy, was written by Lou Houston and directed by Larry Robertson. Other players were Bela Kovach, Ken Mayer, Virginia Hewitt, and David Duval. Dick Tufeld speaking. Now, don't forget to tune in next Saturday and every Saturday when Wheat Chex, Rice Chex, and Good Hot Ralston again present the new exciting Space Patrol! And be sure to see another exciting Space Patrol story on your local ABC television station. Consult your local paper for time and channel. Space Patrol comes to you transcribed from Hollywood. This is ABC Radio Network.
Space Patrol on Tuned to Yesterday from December 20th, 1952 on ABC. It's an hour of sci-fi on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now we join the John Campbell Jr. hosted show, Exploring Tomorrow. This first heard on the Mutual Broadcasting System on February 19, 1958. The story, The Last Doctor.
When a man has learned how to do something, he wants that something to be important and needed and wanted in the world. Well, progress tends to eliminate various old necessities and replace them with new ones. And sometimes people are unwilling to change. Once upon a time, there was the occupation of buggy whip maker, for example. And I wonder how many people today make their living chipping flint points for arrows. Various professions have been eliminated, and various others will be, by automation, by other forces of society. But sometimes an individual fights back, and that can cause trouble.
Who's there? Who is standing there?
Excuse me, sir.
Come forward. Out of the shadow where I can see you.
Oh, yes, sir. I didn't mean to frighten you.
Who are you?
My name is Mara, sir.
I've never seen you before. What do you want?
The robot down the highway said that I would find the owner of this dome in the garden, but I couldn't hear what else it said. It's rusty.
Is it? I must see to it. I thought it would really be wasted effort. You're the first visitor to this home in, must be 6 years, or perhaps it's seven.
I wanted the robot to tell me if this was the dome of Cran.
Yes, I am Cran.
Oh.
Come. Can't you see I'm wearing a very thin robe? The wind off the canals is sharp this time of evening.
Oh, please don't be angry. I need your help.
You need my help?
Well, you are a doctor, aren't you?
What?
Are you a doctor?
My child, I am the last physician alive on all the planets of the human race. The last except for Targ, whose name you also saw on the card index. But he is senile and he lies on his couch all day.
My sister is sick up on the mountain.
Yes, I believe I have the signal honor to be the last physician among the race of men. Poor Targ, a hopeless case. He couldn't attend the ceremony. That was 10 years ago. On my 125th birthday. Very impressive.
Oh, please, please listen, Gran. My sister is sick.
Thousands of people, educators, dignitaries honoring me. The last of my kind. It's a sad thought. And it's not right. I thought it wasn't right at the time. My profession goes back to the beginnings of recorded time. And then suddenly we're no longer needed. Turned out with a medal and a statue and a thank you.
Oh, Cran, what must I do to make you understand?
Let go of my arm.
My sister is sick with some kind of disease.
It's impossible, my child.
I knew you wouldn't believe me. I just knew it.
Disease has been destroyed.
That doesn't change the fact that my sister is lying up on the mountain with her skin hot as fire 1 hour, as cold as ice the next. She trembles and she moans. Tom.
Young woman, is your sister expecting a child? If so, she should report immediately to the automation hospital. There's one down the road, staffed with the finest obstetrics.
There is no child. She's just sick.
I refuse to believe that.
Oh, all right, then. I'll go back and watch her die, then.
Wait a moment. I would help you if I could, but I haven't had a case since I was 40 years old. There's been no need.
I know all that. I went to school once.
Disease is an outmoded concept. Chemotherapeutics long ago rid the human strain of its infirmities, cleanse the planets of illness. Psychotherapeutics cleanse the minds of men. To sickness is obsolete.
And so all you care about is that my sister violates all your rules.
Perhaps it is a natural death. Perhaps you should have taken her to the geriatric mortuary. We have not obliterated death, you know. And if she's quite old, perhaps it's time for her to go to the machine.
My sister's 28 years old.
Oh, I see.
How far is the city? Maybe if I go there, I can find someone who won't laugh at me.
Wait. Please, come inside.
So that you can joke with me again?
Be silent. Come inside. A little light, please. Pass your hand along the wall of the dome. There, that's better. Now sit down.
Oh, I'm going to the city. I find someone there.
Oh, will you be silent? I'm trying to help you if I can. I don't know what I can do. It's been many years, but I'll try. Now, sit down.
All right.
How long has your sister been in this condition?
For 8 days.
What are the, I've forgotten the words. Yes, the symptoms.
Well, she's hot and cold in turn. She doesn't recognize me. And she coughs and coughs.
Good heavens.
What's wrong?
It sounds like some sort of primitive illness. At the end of my practice, my last patient was a complex of neurogeriatric syndromes. I studied nothing but multiple ills. And then when the last of those were wiped out by the new drugs and the new techniques, why, I simply had to quit. But a primitive disorder.
I've bothered you for nothing.
What do you mean? I'm going to try, certainly.
What good will that do?
My child, I am a physician, and it is my duty to try. That much I remember. Come now. I think my unicar is still working. You'll have to direct me to the mountain, to your sister. The man has really forgotten his trade. He can still feel terrible resentment.
Oh, listen, she must be in terrible pain.
This path is so steep. I'm not used to such a crash.
No, but it's just a little further. We're almost to the dome.
Why do you live in such a desolate place?
Well, our father built his hydraulic sheds up here because he disliked the city.
Hmm?
When he died, we had to stay here because we didn't know any other place to make a living.
We're here. Open the door quick, girl. Put on the light.
We don't have atomics, just a small generator for electricity.
Well, that will have to do. Now, let me have a look at her. Oh, yes, you are right. Her skin is burning.
Oh, Neela. Neela, can you hear me? I've brought a physician.
Oh, it's no use. I've forgotten the simplest words. What is it? What is it? Oh, yes, now it comes back to me. She's delirious. Bring the table closer. Now, do you know how to alert one of these viewers?
I'll try.
Now, set the viewer on the table. The text on the film, if I remember rightly, contains close to 1,000,000 diagnostic patterns. Now, just get the spool under the sprockets.
Oh, I think I see how to do it.
Now, young woman. Neela, that's your name, isn't it? Open your mouth for me. Come now, open it. Yeah, that's better. Now open your eyes. Then I'll have to do it myself. There. The pulse. Now, where's the pulse? The arm, yeah. No, that's not it. Lower.
The text is on the viewer.
All right, I'll code the symptoms myself.
Do you know what's wrong? Can you help us?
To answer your first question, no, I don't know what's wrong.
Oh.
To answer your second, I will only know whether I can help her if the viewer finds the diagnosis for me after I code the symptoms. Now, if there is medication prescribed with the diagnosis, and if by chance I still have that medication in my kit, there might be a chance.
Oh, why did it have to happen to her?
Why, indeed. The learned men of all planets would doubtless be curious to know the answer also. Here, let me sit that down at the view. Let's see. First symptom, fever. Second symptom, inflammation of the throat cavity. Third symptom, advanced olfactory congestion. We should have the answer, if there is one contained in this text. This last key. There.
My heavens! But John,
can't you see the card? In the last appendix of the text. Antique maladies. Let's see what it says. Yes. All the symptoms are exact. The cause is a virus. There's the code name right there. The proper agent, let's see. At the bottom of the card, chemotherapeutic number 411009. Open the kit quickly.
What was the number now? Let's see. 411000. Oh, yes. It is here. 009.
Two of them, two of the tablets. Give them to your sister.
Neela, please do as I ask. You open your mouth. That's right. Now take these tablets. Oh, that's right. And swallow. Oh, that's fine, Neela. And now you rest, dear. And you'll be better soon.
Please stand aside.
What are you going to do with that?
This hypodermic, I want a sample of your sister's body fluid.
But what for?
To give me a quantity of the virus. To enable me to duplicate the virus in my own laboratory.
What's wrong with you? Oh, your face, it looks so different now.
Viruses were virtually destroyed a long time ago, but perhaps immunity has weakened in 300 years. Perhaps if the cause were there again and the immunity was not...
Don't you touch her with that needle!
Please stand back, my child. I have helped your sister. A small quantity of blood in return is a fair exchange. It's not right that we should be dismissed with a medal and a statue. It's not fair. I'd make myself the scapegoat if necessary. Take the blame for spreading the disease. That's all right. I am an old man. But I'll have made it possible for others after me to practice medicine once more. The virus may mutate, develop new strains. Immunity may be gone. Stand back. A few cc's of fluid in this little chamber and there'll be disease again and physicians to heal.
You get away from me!
Come back, I warn you. If I must use violence, I can still find strength.
You stay away! Stay away!
You force me to this!
When a man is retired from his business,
It's one thing to know that the business is still going on, that the business itself has not been retired. But somehow, it's a much deeper hurt to have the business itself cease to exist. If only that business hadn't stopped, that he could feel that something of his business was going on. I think that's what's bothering the ex-doctor.
You. My sister died during the night.
I'm sorry.
You're not sorry at all.
You must understand. I couldn't stay with you. I left you there unconscious. I knew you'd come around soon enough.
But my sister died.
I did what I could. I gave the prescribed medication. It's lucky I had some of it at all. The virus must have been too strong. The immunity factor down to nil.
That's why I came. To ask whether I will contact the disease.
It's possible.
And could pass it on to others.
I wouldn't allow myself over that. I'd be making my own plan.
That's why you took the blood.
Of course.
Do you think that this particular virus is widespread?
I am sure it isn't. This one case must be pure accident. I told you that the virus, as a cause of infection, like all causes of physical and mental illness, was totally counteracted all years ago. And that's why I was given the medal and the statue, because they didn't need me or my kind. But they will again, and soon.
Oh, I've never had much education, but this idea of yours, it just isn't decent.
Oh, no?
You'd bring sickness to people just to carry on a tradition.
Not a tradition. The noblest tradition in the history of the human race. A tradition of comfort, of healing, of leading sick minds and bodies back to health.
But that was accomplished years ago. You said so yourself.
Yes, but it's not right, that's all. Not when so much has been given and sacrificed for the good of mankind.
What you plan to do is not for the good of mankind.
I won't listen to you anymore.
What you plan to do violates everything that's right. A doctor is supposed to heal, to cure.
I didn't do so very well with your sister, did I?
For that, I can forgive you. You said yourself it was a rare case. Perhaps it will strike me and I will die. And then it will never happen again. But to set out to create disease...
Get out of this laboratory,
you
little wretch.
You stand before other doctors and look them in the face and say, I'm doing this for you, making others ill so that you can be doctors again.
There are no doctors except Targ, and he's senile. I am the last.
And you are very old, and something's happened to your mind.
I warn you, leave this dorm immediately.
Not before I destroy whatever you took from my sister.
You see this? A laboratory torch. See the blue flame? It burns. We'll burn you if you come a step closer.
Just destroy what you took from my sister, that's all I ask.
Not a step nearer.
If you don't, I'll destroy you and myself and this whole place.
You're a fool.
I know it. And I'm not very old or well-educated, but I may be a better physician than you are.
I want you to stand back. I'll burn you.
Is that it, the large flask thing?
Don't touch it.
Watch out, old man. Your bones move slowly.
Let go of it. Let go.
There's here, poor old man.
I'll kill you. I'll blast you with the torch.
You missed me.
Stand still. Stand still.
You set fire to the walls.
Come back. Don't hide that way. Come out from behind there.
Now there's no chance for you to create your new diseases.
Now, which way? Flame, stop me. You're directing
me. I know, but I don't care.
It's not right. I am the last doctor. The tradition must be carried on. They gave me a medal, a statue. It's not right. It's not right. Not right.
You know, if you're looking for a more secure and stable world in the future, I'm afraid you're in for unhappiness and disappointment. The world of the future is going to obey the ancient law. Change. Learn. Find a new and better way. Because the old way always turns out to be a little inadequate. There is nothing that's perfect. Let's go to work and find a better one. It's the whole point of progress. To do a better job than we've ever done before. And you know, when an occupation, when a profession, when a tradition dies, it served a purpose. The purpose does not die. That goes on. And that's what the old doctor didn't recognize. The purpose was to serve human life. And that went on. And always will.
Exploring Tomorrow on Tuned to Yesterday, a Mutual Broadcasting System episode from 1958. And that brings to a close this hour of Sci-Fi on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark Levillier. Thanks for tuning in.